Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, I got Kyle, and we have another special guest this week. Welcome back to the show, Brandon Hojo. Welcome back, Brandon.
Oh, hey, I'm a special guest. I like it.
It's been a while.
It's good to be here. First time this year.
This year, wow.
It's good to be back.
Is this your first time with all three of us?
I don't know. I think so.
I thought we had one all together, but maybe not.
It's been so long that we can't remember. That's all we need to know.
Oh, and you're getting old. You just say, I just can't remember.
Okay, well, Brandon is back to help us unpack a little bit more of this past Sunday sermon, which we were continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit. We are not concluding it, as our speaker Nigel Harris kind of intimated that this was the last one of fruit of the Spirit. We still have a few more. I'm bringing next month on kindness, and I think we have two more after that. So, but we are getting closer to the end than to the beginning. So I guess on that side, Nigel is closer to being correct, but
yes,
yeah, he's not. He's not. And he's also still not funny.
It is the last one listed in the Bible, but it's not the end of our series.
So, yes, Nigel, this past Sunday, he shared a message on self-control. And I thought it was really good. I thought he did a good job for his first time as a solo, because he has spoken before with his dad, and they kind of did a tag team last time. But I thought he did a great job of trying to unpack what self-control is. Do you guys have any thoughts on it? They're deep in thought.
I'm exerting self-control right now. I'm waiting for somebody else.
I enjoyed it. I thought he did a really good job. Of course, it's always the struggle to incorporate the kids, and he did a great job with the bubbles and the readings, the Bible readings. But I think he just did such a good job at bringing Scripture to the forefront of how we view self-control is different from the world, and just how very often self-control is that your own will, your own, like, I have to do this, your own strength, and you'll always fall short. You'll always get tired, exhausted, or whatever it is. And he's like, no, there's a biblical view of self-control, and I think he did a really good job hitting that home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think even, like he pointed out, that it says self-control. It's the control of yourself, but it's not from you. It's from, right, like, the Holy Spirit helping you. So I think him highlighting that, I think there's some people that are probably like, oh yeah, I've never thought of it that way. So I think in that sense, that's a good reminder of the word itself is like a misnomer of, like, it's not from yourself, but it is learning how to control yourself, right, with God's help.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. It was cool to see also the kids' willingness to volunteer and read the Bible verses, even though some of them, I was like, do they know how to read?
I was the same way.
But they were all did a good job. And I mean, obviously need help on some words, but I was just like, wow, that's cool that they are so, I mean, it also helped that there was prizes, but yeah, that they were so willing to read in front of everybody and read God's word. And yeah, self-control is, there's a lot to it, but also it kind of boils down to a little bit in a way. And so I thought he did a good job of explaining it and what it looks like in a worldly sense versus a biblical sense.
So as we kind of unpack a little bit more about self-control, one of the things that came to mind as he was speaking and as I've been processing it the past few days is just our fleshly desire for control and how really the only thing that we can control is ourselves. Right? I have no control over Kyle. I have no control over Brandon or Brett. I have no control over God. I have no control over the weather, but I can control how I respond to each of those things or each of those people. And there's kind of this illusion out there that we do have control over other things. And so we try to grasp for it, but really we only have control over ourselves. And I think that's one of the primary principles behind Kylo, the keep your love on, right? Is that we are powerful people when we are able to recognize that we can really only control ourselves. And I think that's something that, you know, we can discuss and we can talk about, because I think that's something that in our world today, it's all about how do we grasp control? I mean, even today, we're recording on election day, right? So people are voting for who has control of the government today. And so we've been watching all kinds of ads, all kinds of propaganda, all kinds of media, all kinds of different things that are trying to vie for our attention so that we give control to someone, right? And so there's always this battle for control and battle for power. But I think one of the things that has been revealed, whether it's through Kylo or just through the Lord, is really the only thing we can really control is ourselves.
Yeah, I think in a sense that's true, but there's also there is some level of I can control you physically. Like there's certain things I can do that will
just because you're
you.
Bigger and stronger than me. Thanks, Kyle.
Or if I put like handcuffs on you, you know, there's certain things you can exert control, but they're limited, and then they you can only get like a certain type of outcome from it, and usually it's not a good outcome, right? So I think there is a level of, oh yeah, I can control this person, or I can even, you know, it might come across as the word manipulate. Like I can manipulate this person because I want to control the situation, but it has a negative outcome because of the relational dynamic. So I think there is some kind of control we can do, but it's not from a healthy perspective. From a godly, healthy perspective, yeah, all we can do is control ourselves, and we can try to have maintain good relationships, good standing where we can maybe influence other people in a good way, but we're really not out to control them.
No, oh, yeah, I like that. I think what comes to mind for me a long time with that is I think just taking responsibility for your actions, mm-hmm. and knowing I think it's Kylo where it's like respond versus react, and like the I think that's what it's that. It comes from Kylo.
And Pastor Ross just talked about it last week too.
Yeah, and so just that idea of am I reacting to something or am I responding to something? And responding has that implication of you're taking a second to think about your options, to think about your emotions and your thoughts, and I'm going to respond appropriately to whatever it is and taking responsibility for it. I was joking with Damon earlier, there's like movies where like the bad guy will kind of shove the main character and be like, look what you made me do, like you did this is your fault, but in reality the bad guy's not taking responsibility for his actions because mm-hmm. he's the one who's pushing the button that does the bad things.
That doesn't just happen in movies, that happens in my house with my kids like every day. He yeah. made me hit her.
Yeah, and it's taking responsibility for those kind of things, like they poke the bear and they get some sort of crazy reaction, but you have to take responsibility. They made me angry, okay, what am I gonna do with this anger? They made me sin or tempted me or whatever, but I have to take responsibility. And I think just the love that God has for us to give us that choice and that freedom, that he's just not like marionettes controlling everything a bit of our lives.
I think one thing that stands out as you guys are talking is for me personally, when I think of self-control, a lot of times it's associated with like fleshly desires or things of that nature, which it is, but there's an aspect of it I think that highlights discipline to me, in terms of like the choices that we make is part of our self-control. And then also like how much so much of it is like mental and emotional. Because I think sometimes we think of self-control like an action that we're doing, which is true. Like, oh, I need to not eat this, or I need to not say this, or I need to not give into this, which I think coincides with the respond and react thing, where it's the thought or the emotion that is the part that not we need to control in terms of like ignore it or change it, because some of those things you can't, but it's the responding and reacting to that, and that will allow your action, or that will dictate your action more than if you just try to not like eat something, or you just like, because we are, you know, imperfect, we are going to fail or we are going to fall short. And so if it's just like what Nigel said of like just gritting our teeth and white knuckling it, like, we're not going to be able to. And so such a big part of it is the mental and emotional, because even in the example Brandon said, like the bad guy says like, look what you made me do. Physically, he's not making him push him, but it's like he has almost this control over his mind, and he's convinced that I have to do this because of whatever you did, right? And so it's that thought or that feeling that we get, or Damon, your kids, it's like something pisses off one of your kids. So then it's like, now I have to get you back. So I'm going to hit you. Mm. And so some of the self-control is renewing our minds. It's taking captive of our thoughts. It's doing all of those things so that we are able to respond in a way that I think is more along with how God wants us to have self-control.
Wow, you took all of my responses and already included it in your initial statement. I was, okay, I'm going to go here. Okay,
I'm, oh, all right, wait, I'm done.
He said it. I'm going to go here. Ow. Oh, he said that.
Turn off my mic. I'm done.
Brett just dropped the mic and left the room.
Well, I think one thing is I used to not think I had good self-control. Mm. Like when you read it, you're like, every time I get tempted or every time it felt like, oh, I don't have good self-control. But then realizing that some of those things that you do feel or the thoughts that you do have are natural and okay. It's fleshly, but it's like you can't help it. But then it's, are you able to, how do you respond to that situation? And I think when I was able to recognize that and then focus on that and step up to the plate in that way, it's like, wow, actually I'm way more disciplined or have more self-control than I thought. Because before it's just like, I can't do that. Like I'm so bad or I'm so negative or I'm such a realist, you know, all those kinds of things.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm asking. But, you know, got to even have self-control when it comes to that. But in focusing on kind of those, I sold myself short in God knowing that I could feel a certain way or think about things a certain way, and that's okay, but how does he want me to respond? And so I think, again, it's easier said than done, but I think it's crucial to this idea of biblical self-control versus just like, well, just don't touch it. Well, it's like, okay, you know, just don't do this. It's like, okay, that I understand that, but like, why do I still have the desire? Why do I, are we able to take captive of our thoughts, all of those things, right?
I like how you brought in like perspective, right? So you had a certain perspective and you thought you weren't very good at it. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of shifted your perspective and you're like, oh, actually, it's not just about like eliminating the temptation, so to speak. It's like, am I actually going to agree with it and go forward with it? But I liked what you were saying, because you were really describing the soul, because you were saying the mind, will, and emotions, right? So I think a lot of times with self-control, we do think of just the will. Like it's a will thing. Right. If my will is strong, I'm going to have good self-control. If it's not, but they are combined. The three of those are combined. Like your emotions can eat at your will because your emotions might override it, or your thoughts, or vice versa. So I think it's good that you brought up all three of those.
I also thought that it was good how you were talking about when we try to say no to our temptation. One of the things that I've been thinking through too is, you know, really when we are aiming at something or aiming to not hit something, we a lot of times end up hitting it, right? So if we're saying, I'm not going to watch this type of movie, or I'm not going to do this, a lot of times because that's at the forefront of our mind,
we I'm not going to eat ice cream after my kids go to bed. Oh, I mean, just like hypothetically. Like,
yes, Kyle. But because that's what we're thinking, it actually makes the temptation larger than it is, and then we end up hitting it, right? Where instead, if I was going to say, I'm going to go for a run at after dinner time, then I'm not even thinking about the ice cream that I want to eat. Instead, I'm thinking about this other thing. And yeah, so it even shifting our the target, whether it's not hitting something, but instead pointing ourselves towards something different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that reminds me of a TED Talk I listened to a long time ago where he's saying skiers, when they're going down a slope, what they tell them not to do is don't have the mindset, don't hit a tree, because eventually you're going to hit a tree. But if you say to yourself, go the right path, more likely you're going to go on the right path, right? And so I think it's just, that's a great point of how what you focus on can change a lot of your behavior. Yeah.
Yeah, that happened in a Riley soccer game a couple weeks ago. They kept kicking the ball at the goalie. So the goalie
at their own goalie?
No, no, no. When they're shooting to try to score, they kept kicking it straight at the goalie, right? Because looking at the goalie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the coach was like, "Don't look at the goalie. Look at the open space. Yeah. There's lots more open space than there's." I mean, this is a small goalie and this huge goal, and they keep hitting it, kicking it right to the goalie because they're looking at the goalie, right? And he's like, "Look at the open spots. There's plenty of it." And then they started to score more goals. Mm. So, you know, what you're looking at, that's really what you're going to hit. Even if you're trying not to hit it, you'll end up hitting it.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. So I got a different vein to touch on. So with Nigel's bubble thing, right? So he had the temptation for the kids of, like, smash a bubble, get a prize now. So I talked to him before service because he explained what he was going to do. So I was like, okay, I want to see how this plays out. He did a couple extra rounds because I think the kids had more self-control than he thought. His idea was to get it down to one or two kids, and then they would get the big prize, but it was really delayed gratification. So a big part of self-control can be that concept of delayed gratification. So just wanted to throw that out to you guys of how do you see that. And how have you experienced self-control in light of delayed gratification or in light of not having delayed gratification?
If I think about it and kind of look back, I think some of it does come from, like, parenting, how I was raised. But I think another portion of it is there are times where you have to experience something to, like, learn. And so there's times where I did not, you know, wait or have the patience for delayed gratification and just, whether it's just buy something now or I know, like, one thing would be like for Christmas, if I got Legos when I was young, my dad said, "Don't do it all, like, in the next hour, because then tomorrow you're not even going to want to play with, like, you're going to lose it or not even play with it." So it would be like, stop at page 38 or something, right? And it's like,
stop at bag number 2.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. And
you
so
you had Legos that had 38 pages on the instruction booklet? Man, you're rich, man.
Well, I'm not rich. Well, okay, that's a whole other story. But, right, and so when you get to that point, you know, I've breeze through it and finish the Lego, and then you're like, oh, like, my dad was right, or I don't have anything else to do.
Yeah.
Next time I should wait. And so I think there are times where I don't want to say that it's the wrong thing, but experiencing it to then grow and know that the delayed gratification is worth it, or at times it is the discipline that we need to have can help, because otherwise I think sometimes you just don't know until you kind of find out in certain ways. You can hear it from other people, but until you experience it yourself, sometimes it doesn't feel real. But overall, I also feel like there's people who are just kind of wired that way, right? Yeah. And sometimes, well, delayed gratification in itself is good, but there are people I know that it's almost like too far to the other end where it's a detriment if it's like just always holding and withholding right? And then it starts to become, okay, this is not delayed gratification. This is something else. But part
self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
This is self-mutilation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But part, yeah. So I think part of it is kind of a little bit how you're wired as well, how I've experienced it.
But I think that's a good point to show that even with self-control, it's not just like it just plops in your lap and you're always going to exhibit it in a good way. It's like you do understand it, and you can get a more full picture of it by not exerting it. And then, like, oh, I think if I did this differently, I would have had a way better outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes, like, either people speaking that out to you or self-realization. But yeah, like, I totally agree. Sometimes the best, I mean, parents say this all the time, the best learning experiences are failure or hardship, and none of us want to go through it, but when we're open to it, then that's when we learn things like self-control that are hard to grasp otherwise.
I'm just trying to think of a time. I don't know if I would label it as self-control, but more just God's timing. Of there were a lot, like earlier this year, God was taking me through a lot of different, trials and themes. That'd be a little vague here, but like he was putting me on this great journey. I was learning this, I was learning that, and then there was a period where I feel like I wasn't getting anything from the Lord, and there's this huge pause. But I was so rolling down this hill, and so when I prayed about it, God was saying, "I want you to do nothing." And I was like, what? Like, I'm doing so much. I feel like I'm on fire. And I'm just, like, really ramping up speed. And then he said, just wait. And it was the most excruciating few weeks of, I feel like, it just wasn't going the way that I wanted it to go, especially with historically how it was been in the past few months. And so after that unmarked time, things started happening again. And I think if I had it done the way that I wanted to do it, it would not have had the great effect that it did while I waited. And so in that period, I was telling people to pray for me, like, and they were saying, like, I think you just need to wait. And it was the hardest 3 weeks ever, just because I was doing so much. And then now just to do nothing. And so for me, wanting to rush my timeline or get the things that I wanted to do, but God was saying, no, I want you to be in a position for when he's ready to work in it for me. And that was really hard to do.
So you had to exert self-control not to step in and overstep what God was trying to get done. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, do you have more depth on how hard that was in that season? Like,
yeah, because I mean, like many people, I'm a doer. I like to do things. And so if God is telling me to do something, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to wait.
No problem, right?
Yeah, but then when he was telling me to, what his action was to wait, It was like twiddling my thumbs. Like, I was just like anxious. I was like, okay, God, like, is it today? And every opportunity I was trying to seek out, and I was trying to use my own self effort of, okay, God, is it this? No. Oh, okay, I'll wait. God, is it this? And it's just that repeated cycle of I'm just kind of antsy. And I didn't like that. But after the first week or two, it's like, there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to wait as he told me to wait. And then I can't remember what ended it, but I think someone came up to me and prayed for me, and I was like, oh, this is what I was waiting for. And if I didn't have that almost expectancy of God that I didn't have the few weeks prior, it would not have hit the same. Mm. Yeah.
Brandon, I think it's really neat that
I know
that the Lord has been trying to show you and grow in you multiple characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit at the same time, right? It's like we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit being there's one fruit with multiple characteristics. And in the scenario that you're talking about, right, it's like you're growing in your patience because you're having to wait. But at the same time, you're also growing in your self-control because you're having to discern, is this the time to go or is this the time to stop? Or this is the time to strive or is this the time to be patient and wait, right? And so it's cool to see how the Lord is really developing it all at the same time. And it's not like, you know, it's this, then this, then this, but it's the whole thing all at the same time.
Or even he had an expectancy of God's goodness too. I got to throw goodness in there because that's the one I spoke on. But yeah. No, you saw that there was going to be something good that's going to come out of it.
Yeah, I think especially just in context of like, God's been so good to me so far. Like, I know something good is going to happen. And it was just like, I want the goodness now. I think that was the desire, but it's like, no, this will be greater when it's in God's timing, not mine. Yeah.
Sounds like faithfulness.
Ooh. I bet you
we haven't done yet.
I bet you had great joy afterwards too.
That's why he's laughing right now.
I think when you were just talking, Brandon, and Brett touched on it earlier too. Part of it is like our makeup, our wiring and stuff, like where you're a doer. And so your self-control needed to be not to overdo when God's telling you not to do something. Right.
Like real bad.
But what if somebody is more of like a homebody, let's say, or something, you know, they're not a doer, but then God's calling them to go step out, go do, and they need self-control not to just withdraw and hibernate, so to speak, right? And so it's even, it's, and some, for some people, I'm like, I don't need self control for that. But it just all depends on your wiring. It's really self-control over what your bent, your normal bent is, or how that might interfere with what God's actually leading you into.
Yeah, I think, well, yeah, I've always been raised to, you have a need, go do it. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, exactly how I'm wired. And so for someone who's more of a homebody, I think, oh, geez, what can I say to that? Why do you feel like, are you
No, I don't think you need to say, I'm more that way, but it shows you that self-control for one person was going to show one way, but that might be the opposite for another person. Just based on, you have to know who you are. And so you can't just be like, oh yeah, I have to just sit still. Because that's how self-control was for Brandon. It's like, no, if your normal bent is to sit still, it's like, and God's saying, get out of your chair and go pray for that person, then your self-control is to, I can't go with my emotions, like what Brett was talking about, my emotions or my thoughts, and my will needs to take over here, and I need to go respond. That's not how I normally would.
Yeah, self-reflection is just a key to so many things. Yeah. Your limits, your giftings, mm-hmm. your strengths.
Oh, as you were talking, I was just contemplating and thinking about it in terms of, so in the world's viewpoint, someone that's a doer versus someone that's a homebody, right? There's more value from the world's perspective for someone that is a doer, mm-hmm. right? And so from the world's perspective, I'm wondering if that person has a like a worldly self-control because they're doing stuff, mm-hmm. does that also then bring a kind of a sense of like either an entitlement, like look what I deserve, I've earned all this stuff, or whether it's an entitlement or kind of like a self-righteousness, like look at all the things that I'm doing, but really that's more really how they're wired or their natural bend compared to someone else that their natural bend is to be a homebody. I don't know, just something I was thinking about.
I'm a homebody. Very much so.
I'm a realist homebody. So.
I think with what comes with that is like value that we place on things, and then mm-hmm. the obedience portion of it. Mm-hmm. The doing is part of the wiring, and I guess the homebody. I don't necessarily know if those are opposites, but I could see how it's seen that way. But in both scenarios, part of their wiring and why those people may be living that out is like what they're valuing. Mm-hmm. I value being productive. I value getting something done. I value being able to take care of myself and be responsible, which are all inherently good things. Mm-hmm. Even someone who's a homebody, I value my time. I value my space. Mm-hmm. My peace, my comfort, which is all good things. But then the self-control part in the doer, like in Brandon's case, right? It's his obedience to God saying, no, just wait.
Yes.
So does he value what God promises or has for him to almost outweigh the way that he's designed, that it's worth like not acting out of my flesh or not acting out of my strength or my bend, mm-hmm. or for like the homebody, okay, I value just chilling. That's me. Just if I could just chill, I'm good. But how often is God saying, you need to go meet up with this person or you need to do this? And I'm like, ah, okay. And so it's like I value wanting to do what God wants me to do or what he's given me or the things that I need to steward in the season. So even though I rather or fleshly rather just not have to worry about things, not have to take care of things and just chill, in my obedience, and I think we were going to talk about a little bit, my submission to him, you know, that's where the self-control is like a weird dynamic where I'm letting go of the things that I want, but then the self-control of letting God kind of dictate, I'm going to act upon that. And so, yeah, I don't know. If you're a homebody doer, then shout out to you, because that's what I think I am too.
No, and I'm glad you brought that. I don't know if that was the best example of opposite. I was just more trying to get across to our listeners that that you might, it might be different for you than for somebody mm-hmm. else, mm-hmm. and that there's different, there's self-control comes across in different ways, and we have to find out the areas in our own lives where we need to exhibit self-control with the Lord's help, because definitely. We all have our weaknesses, areas that we're going to just go to by default, mm-hmm. that are just our comfort places or our places where, you can just go no matter what, right? And then if that's to avoid what God's asking you to do, or if that's to just block out what he's asking you to do or whatever it is, I don't want it to be, I just wanted people to be aware of that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I agree that I like to get things done too. I'm a homebody. I mean, it's more of like, I'm thinking for me and Mimo, because that's what I think we're opposites in a lot. She's a doer. I can just relax. Like if she's relaxing, she'll fall asleep. Actually, she likes to keep herself going, because then she likes to get things done in a different way. Mm-hmm. But so what she needs for self-control is different than what I need, or how I exhibit self-control mm-hmm. is different than her. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just really tying in with what you both were pointing out about personality, understanding yourself, understanding how you're wired, that affects your view of what self-control looks like. Because if you mm-hmm. just view it based on somebody else's, if I just view it based on Damon, then I might have a misconstrued view of self-control for myself. And I think I'm doing it well, but actually I'm like, no, I'm doing it based on how he does it for himself, but I need it. I need to exhibit it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Since Brett brought up the submission word, as we were...
Wait, do we need behind enemy lines for that or not? Dun, dun, dun.
We just need the Mimo's ears ringing.
Uh-oh.
Since Brett talked about submission, as we were prepping for this episode, we were talking with Brandon, and one of the things that he had mentioned that he might want to talk about is how really the Lord has graciously given us the ability to control, right? Because... he totally, in his power, could be the master manipulator and just treat us all like marionettes and just...
the puppet master.
Yeah, be the mm-hmm. puppet master. But in his grace has given us the ability to have control, and how that's a privilege. So, Brandon, would you like to share a little bit more on what you were thinking?
Yeah, I mean, like, we are so loved to the point where we have a lot of freedom. We have the freedom to... walk towards God, and we have the freedom to walk away from God. And that's a pure act of love, because every child knows they hate it when their parents tell them what to do. But at the end of the day, the child, I would hope, respects and honors their parents. Like, I'm going to do what they ask me to do, because I know that they're best intentions for me, and so I'm going to follow that. And when we think about our freedom, which very seldom we do, we have a lot of choices, and it comes down to like our stewardness with our actions. Is what I am doing, is this honoring to God? Mm. And I know it's a very simplistic way of seeing something, but honestly, it's true. Like, I'm going to love my child because God loved me, and it's just an outflow of me, so I'm going to continue to love them. Mm. And there's a lot of minor things within there, but I think when it comes to our actions, I think it's good, especially for myself, for me to check myself of, are the things that I'm doing, am I submitting that to the Lord? Am I submitting to what he's asked me to do? And I think that's why it's so important with Pastor Barry's class, of hearing God's voice. What is God asking me to do with my actions, with my time? Am I loving my neighbor? Am I being kind to the people around me? Am I tithing? Am I, you know, there's so many things. Like, am I honoring and stewarding the resources and who I am to God? And it's just good to constantly self-check yourself in that way, because I think we seldom ask, are the things that I'm doing, is that honoring to God? Mm. But it's a very simple question. So, yeah.
Well, I just want to say my kids love it when I tell them what to do, so I don't know what kids you're talking to.
Today's opposite day, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Man, you caught me.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going.
Oh, no. I was just trying to add a little humor.
I mean, I think it just shows the heart of the Lord, right? And his heart is that we choose him, right? So he gives us the ability to choose him or choose to walk away from him. And I think one of the things that we don't often think about is the Lord's heart and how we're treating it when we choose other things.
Yeah.
Right? And when we choose to fill ourselves with the things that are temporary, or as Kyle was talking about, instant gratification versus seeking the Lord to fill the spots that only he can fill, right? And the effect that that has on the Lord's heart, right? Because I think, you know, we think with our kids, we've been working on this declaration, right? And we talked about God is good. He's in a good mood, right? So we kind of had this picture of God, but then do we recognize the times when, like, the effect of our following other things on the Lord's heart? Like, does that hurt his heart? How does that, what's the feeling behind that? I think that's something that we don't often think about, but I think that's something that it might be good for us to start thinking about, is when we do make some of these choices, what's the effect of that on the Lord's heart?
Honestly, I think that's kind of scary to think about, because, and I think that's a natural knee-jerk response, because, okay, if I'm willingly or unintentionally choosing sin, like, what does that do to God? How does God actually feel about that? The separation or just rejection? And it's like, ooh, I don't want to think about how God feels about that. And I think I would make the excuse of, like, oh, well, not my problem. But it really is. But I think that's a scary thought to have, in my opinion.
This is a whole nother podcast episode and topic.
I know, that's what I'm like. Okay, how deep do we go on this one? Yeah. So I'm trying to tie it back into...
I think the cool thing about it, in when I was prepping for, like, talking about God being a pursuer, in that God hates the sin, right, but he doesn't necessarily hate the sinner.
Right.
Right, and so it's that act, the brokenness that he sees, which he dislikes, but he still cares for the person or his people. I think if the sinner is someone who's able to, like, repent and acknowledge things, it's probably a little different than someone who... Oh, okay. That's going too far into another topic and conversation. But I think in general, when we do choose to do things that are not of God, I don't think he likes it, but it doesn't change the, you know, like the part in the declaration, but nothing can stop him from loving me. Right. It doesn't change that he still wants to be in relationship with you. He still has his mercy and his grace and his love for you. But it's not something where he's like, that's good, keep doing it.
All right, we did a mic drop moment for everybody. But, you know, I really think it's also a double whammy too, right? Because the Lord's heart for us is so big that when he sees us chasing after those things, he knows that they're not going to fill us. He knows that those things are just temporary, and they might feel good in the moment, but in the big picture, they're not good for us. And so his heart is so big for us that it's not just, you know, the sense of rejection or the walking away, but it's also like, that's not in that person's best interest. Like, the hurting for that too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as a parent, it's like when you see your kid doing something that you know might hurt them, right? You see them playing with the fire in the stove and stuff, or something like that, right? It's like, it's not just like, don't do that because you're gonna, it's like, oh man, if they get hurt, like, that hurts me as their dad. Like, I don't want to see them hurting. And this, that is following down that path could lead to that, right? And so I think in some of those times we get a deeper glimpse into what the Lord's heart looks like as we experience some of those things too. And how does that tie into self-control? I don't know. We're just making everybody think deep today.
I mean, the word that just keeps coming to me is defiance. And it's like, if we're doing self-control out of our own desires, our own our own, trying to fulfill our own needs or wants, is it in light of, you know, God giving us the choice, then it's just being defiant. Like, we're choosing to walk away or not engage him. But if we do use self-control because of who he is and because of what he's done for us, then it's not defiance. It's actually, it's a longing or a turning towards. But yeah, I've wrestled with that thought of every sin gets nailed to Jesus on the cross. And it's like, oof, another one. Oof, another one. And it's like, when you think of it, it's like, man, I want to exhibit more self-control. I want to do it in a healthy way because I don't want to add to that.
That's a really good visual. I've actually never thought about that way. Yeah. Because when you say defiance, that makes me think of, just like rebellion. Rebellion versus communion, mm-hmm. right? And it sucks to say it, it's so black and white, but at the end of the day, that is what's kind of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, you went down this path, man. Like, this is a tough one to come back from. Damon's looking at us like, who's going to speak up now?
It's the most awkward silence we've had in an episode in a long time. I blame Brandon.
Great. Great to be here.
I think we should throw him under the bus.
Oh no, they're all coming out.
Well, he's not sitting in Brett's chair.
Oh, jeez.
We're laughing about those things a little bit because, you know, Brandon is our consigliere and he does give us pointers on
our
things.
Our what?
Our consigliere. He's our consultant. Brandon is our podcast consultant, so he gives us tips on things that he thinks are either playing well or maybe not be playing so well.
Or overplayed.
So you might have noticed that some of these terms that we're bringing back today, aka neat or Brett's chair or throwing each other under the bus, we haven't been using them quite as much because we've gotten some pointers from our consultant.
And for that, we're going to elevate you higher on the podium, Brandon.
No, nobody else cares but me. Nobody else knows but me. But
now that they heard us all in this context, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, you're right.
All right, we're gonna boost all the plays from the past episodes. We're just going to listen to everything, re-listen. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, I just want to make you guys sound as good as possible.
So. Oh, no. It's all in fun. But just a way to try to buy some time for Damon to think his way out of how we're going to transition out of this.
I mean, I don't know if there is a way out of this one. So, you guys have any closing thoughts on self-control before we end this episode?
I mean, I do, but it could take a little bit longer.
Well, you're the guest, so.
All right. Well,
I'll just say you're going to use up Brett's time, so just go ahead.
Great. Okay. I think I'm really good at making excuses. Mm. I think I am amazing, top tier. And
excuses at why you don't have self control, or
just in general, in anything. Okay. I think in terms of self control, like if I sin, fall into temptation, or whatever. It's really easy for me to rationalize, and it's really easy, and I know that's not a good thing. Like I know it's bad, and I think an excuse that I've given other people, which is not great, of just like you're only human, and I think we hear that often. Mm-hmm. And while that's a valid statement, I think about there's an episode in The Chosen where he uses that line where. I think Lazarus is saying something to Jesus, like something, I'm only human. And Jesus responds, so am I. Mm. And I think that hit me in such a way where, yeah, Jesus is our example. And all in scriptures, like he came into the world as flesh and like Jesus was human too. And he didn't make any excuses. And it's like, man, how do I mean, that's our life journey, right? To be more like Jesus. Mm. And it's like, man, like that's such an inspiration. And I think, all this fruit of the Spirit, everything that we're talking about, it'll always point back to Jesus and how can we continue to walk in that way. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, I just need to stop making excuses. Really lame, bad excuses, you know. There are some things that are valid, but at the end of the day, it's like how am I being shaped and transformed in the way in life of Jesus? And I think that's something we all kind of need to hear all the time. Mm. how am I being more like Christ today? So
it's a good one.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we are doing this series on fruit of the Spirit, right? Because it's Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that empowers us to exhibit these qualities and these characteristics that are supernatural, that it's not just from our own will that we're trying to do these things, but it's from his Spirit. So the same Spirit that is in Jesus is the same Spirit that's in us. So the ways that he was able to live, we have that same Spirit in us that's able to empower us to have those characteristics or to do those things. And I like that you brought in Jesus as an example, which we should always do that. But you know, as you were talking, one of the things that came to mind is going back to earlier in the episode, we were talking about being a doer versus being a homebody, right? And I think Jesus is a really good example of what that looks like in terms of self-control and being led by the Spirit, right? So there's times where Jesus is healing a lot of people, doing all these miracles, doing a lot of stuff. He's doing a lot, right? But then there's also times where he recognizes, oh, I have to retreat, right? And he goes off by himself to pray. So then he's able to recognize there's a time to be a doer, but there's also a time to rest and recover and not do. And so I think that's a great example for us to recognize there's a time and place for each one.
Amen.
I'm just thinking, I think we have a new segment now, Deep Closing Thoughts by Brandon. So we can initiate that from now on, and we'll leave Brett speechless.
I just don't have to say anything, which is nice. Homebody status.
it was good. I really like, you're thinking about excuses. I'm like, oh man, that's a whole nother thing. I don't want to get into now. Yeah, but that's that's me too. So, but yeah, no, it was good.
All right. Well, thanks again, Brandon, for coming on the episode. We always appreciate you, and we might just be grabbing you, you know, again pretty soon in the future. It's been too long since you came on, so we'd love to have you on more often. So thanks again for coming on.
I'm around.
We got to bring it back for the closing, the year-end one, the year-end review. Yeah.
Brandon loves those ones because he gets to do his analytics on us.
I got to pull my stats book. Yeah.
Or if you want, you can just be on every episode from now until the end of the year.
Oh, there you go. Well, I do want to give a shout out because I do want to invite, and which I have personally invited, Carol Ferguson.
Yep.
I'm calling you out.
Repeat. She's going to come back.
Carol actually, after her last episode, decided that she wanted to take Pastor Barry's Hearing the Lord class, and I think it was pretty amazing for her. So I want her to come back on and share with the rest of our listeners about her experience in hearing God's voice. And
selfishly, I think we want to bump up our numbers because her episode got tons of listens.
I know. She got, really quickly, I think people want to hear what Carol has to say.
Honestly, anybody that's taken a class, I feel like, you should come on to one of the podcasts just to let other people know like what's going on, how God's working through it. And I think it would be cool to hear that.
Chris did it before service this week. He got to share a little bit of what he's been learning. So that's cool.
All right. So we also need to call out somebody because Jerry did a parenting class and we haven't had anyone come on and share about that one. So if anyone took the Jerry's parenting class, we'd love to come on and share with us a little bit about some of the things that you learned in the parenting class.
Lauren, Indy, other people. I mean,
Kyle's saying he knows who you are.
I don't know. Those are ones that I know.
Kyle, all he has to do is go online and
get on my phone. That, like, got registered for these classes. For that class?
All right. Well, thanks to everyone out there for listening and putting up with our corny jokes and our overplayed sayings and taglines and stuff, but we really appreciate you, and we will be back next time. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.